Good morning to you all. We're glad that you are here. In our call to worship today, we're highlighting our missionaries that are serving around the world. We have Brother Ricky Dunsford. Very quickly, I was just going to share what he said in one of his latest prayer letters. He said, the first week of February, we're going to be holding our annual minister's practical training meeting at the home office in Cleveland, Tennessee. The sessions will be from February the 2nd through the 5th, and we are going to be ministering to pastors and ministries leaders, teaching about various subjects about the ministries that we're involved in. And then he asked for prayer for their Alabama prison campaign, which is, this will be their 17th year, and that will be happening in April. So we want to remember them in prayer as they prepare for that. Over 7,000 inmates that they're going to be speaking to over a week period of time. So remember Ricky Dunsford in prayer. Also, we have Julian Viapin and his family. They have just transitioned from Home and Abroad Missions here in Milton to Landmark Baptist Missions in Shelby, North Carolina. That's just down the street from Ambassador Baptist College. And they're going that route because they have several missionaries that are in Central Asia. And it will also simplify, because of the arrangements that Landmark has with the government there, they're able to simplify their banking situation. And so it was a good thing for them to do at this time. And so we want to remember them. They're still seeking a place to live that's bigger than their tiny apartment right now. So make that a real matter of prayer that God would provide that. There is a housing shortage, but as Brother Julian said, the Lord knows where the empty house is and that we need, and so pray that they'll be directed there. And then the Saul family, faithful folks that have been ministering in Haiti for many, many years, in a country that is torn by violence and chaos. They cannot even travel to the capital city anymore, to the airport. They're basically landlocked there. There is a small airport just to the east of them, Cap Haitian, that they could fly out if they needed to. But they asked for prayer for the Christian school there, for the Good Shepherd's clinic, which is extremely busy. And they are constantly in need of supplies, and we're working on that to see how we can get supplies to them through the airport at Cap Haitian so that they can get that for their Good Shepherd clinic. And so let's remember these missionaries in prayer throughout the day as we highlight them in our Faith Promise Sunday. Let's begin by turning in our hymn books to number 173. 173, we're going to stand together as we sing Channels Only. Let's stand as we sing.
Channels only, whisper, master, my phone.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, because of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on Calvary's tree in obedience to you, the Father, that would secure our redemption, that would secure a home in heaven, totally undeserved, totally not earned, but completely the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that he rose again the third day bodily in victory over sin, death, and hell. And because of that resurrection power, we can live in this life now. We can know that power in our lives through the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus Christ, for the grace that's been ministered to our hearts and lives. And we pray, dear Father, that that grace would motivate us to reach out to others that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There may be friends and family, neighbors that we know that may not know Jesus Christ. May we have enough compassion and concern for them to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for safety and protection throughout this day. We know that many are battling very intense cold, winter storms, and ourselves may have a storm here from rain. We just look to thee, Father, for protection and watch care. We thank you for this very special day, this Faith Promise Sunday, as we seek to continue the missions program of our church. We thank you for our missionaries. We thank you for their service around the world. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would be faithful in holding the rope for them, that we would not fall behind, and that we would give, because giving is godly. I pray that you touch our hearts in that regard. And then, Father, we think of those that are going through some very difficult times today. We think of Debbie in the hospital there in Greenville, South Carolina, battling the recovery from a major heart surgery this week. We pray that you would strengthen her and grant healing to her. We pray for her husband, David, that you would strengthen and encourage him. We know that he can't even visit her because of the ice on the roads, and we just pray that you would allow him to be able to get back there to the hospital to be with her. And then, Father, we think of the ones that have been affected already by this winter storm. We've had several people that have been hurt and injured in car wrecks and accidents. We just pray for them today that you would grant healing. And then we think of Rod's family. With Rod's passing this past week, we pray for his son and daughter and for their family. Pray that you would minister peace to their hearts and lives. And I pray that you would help us to be a blessing and encouragement to them. Dear Father, we pray for our country. Lord, we're in a very difficult way right now with so much anxiety and chaos, emotional chaos, because of perceived wrongs. And we just pray that you would help people to calm down and that you would send a peaceful calm upon folks that are so bitter and angry. And we pray that you would turn hearts unto yourself, that souls would be saved. We pray for our president and for our vice president and those that lead us in the government. We pray that you'd give them wisdom to make the right decisions. We pray for those that serve us locally in the county and the city and then also in the state levels. We pray for our governor. Pray that you'd give wisdom to him. And we pray that these individuals would seek thy face in every issue that they face. We ask now your blessings today upon this service. We pray that we might hear from heaven as we open your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn together now to number 203. Not too far away, number 203. Praise the Lord who reigns above. Thank you. Let's turn together to number 235 before the message and sing "He Giveth More Grace," number 235.
Thank you.
Would you take your Bibles today and let's turn together to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to be dealing with the subject of giving is godly. Giving is godly. And we're going to be looking at two chapters here in 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at chapter 8 and chapter 9 because some of the greatest teaching on giving that we find in our New Testament is found in these two chapters. And we are dealing with the need that was there in Jerusalem. There were other needs which some of the churches had. And Paul had been collecting offerings to take to these individual churches to encourage those churches. And he sought not to be a burden, but rather to teach them about the glorious aspect of giving. And there's a play on words that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and it's the word give and grace. And they're from the same root word. Karin is translated often gift or give, and the idea of grace is charis. So it has the same root word in both of them, and he uses them both to explain to the Corinthian believers what he sought to teach them about giving. And we're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 8 as we read through this passage, and then we're going to go over to chapter 9 and we're going to read some verses there to teach us in regard to giving is godly. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we would do you to wit. Now, we don't use that phrase anymore. And if someone did use that phrase, you'd have to say, what? What did I just say? It simply means we want to tell you. All right? We want to tell you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. There was a church that was going through some difficult times, and yet they were able to pull together an offering to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. And Paul is honoring them here in this passage. I want to tell you about this church. They've done a wonderful thing. They have gathered up from what they had. They didn't gather things from what they didn't have. That would be called robbery. All right. They didn't do that. And they weren't having special prayer meetings that God would supply extra and above of what they had. They just gave from what they had. Isn't that what the widow did when she brought her mite? She didn't give out of what she didn't have. She gave out of what she had. And that's a principle of Scripture that we're going to emphasize here. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, the karen. So here we have the play on words. Charis, grace. Karen, gift. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's an important thing that you need to highlight in verse 5 there. This wasn't just, you know, them desiring to do what Paul said for them to do, and that was to give. No, they first gave of themselves, and then they gave of others, as it says there. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. Now there's an economic program right there that doesn't work in capitalism. Are you following that? All right. Jesus Christ became poor, and through his poverty, we became rich. Does that sound like capitalism to you? No, it doesn't. This is a biblical economic plan. The Lord Jesus left all of the glories of heaven, all of it. He set aside the prerogatives of his deity, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. And he went to a cruel cross and died, giving his blood, giving his life to atone for sin. Being resurrected from the grave. And in that resurrection, in that atonement, you and I become rich in grace. Rich in grace. This is the emphasis that we find here. And he's going to make a statement about the grace of giving. This is important to understand. That giving is an aspect of God's grace working in your heart so that you loosen up what you're keeping for yourself. That you loosen up, grace begins to work in your heart and you realize what Christ did for you. He didn't hold anything back. Another word that's used in this passage is didomi, and I've used this illustration. Dr. J.B. Williams told it when he was a missionary in Western Africa. The country at that time was Dohomey. I used to remember him saying that, Dohomey. And it became Benin. That's what it is now. And he said that he was teaching a Sunday school class, and he was working on using the Beninian language and so forth like that. And he took a book off the shelf. He was teaching about God's giving. And he went on and he gave this book, said, I want to give you this book. And he gave it the book. And the boy reached out with one hand and took it. And the boy that was sitting next to him just slapped him across the face. That boy just punched him. Whoa, 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 what are you doing? And so he took the boy and he went outside and said, why did you strike that boy? I gave him that book. I wanted him to have it. And he said, sir, he disrespected you. What? He disrespected you. In our culture, whenever somebody gives you something, you receive it with both hands. If you receive it with one, you're disrespecting the giver. But you receive it with one hand, and he knows that. And this is the picture that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Father gave the Son, he gave it with both hands, and we need to receive it with both. That's the word didomi. That's used in this passage talking about giving. We give with both hands. We don't have one hiding behind the back. All right? I've watched my grandson do that when Avery comes over. Here, Avery, you can play with this one. And he has his hand like this. Because in his hand's like four other toys that he's got. He had a bag of little sea creatures, plastic sea creatures. So she liked the really bright colored one. All right? And it was a really bright yellow one with a yellow body on one of those angelfish. And she was going for that one. And he said, he went and grabbed the bag and he took out one. You can have this one, which was the darkest one of all. A little teeny tiny thing. Here, Avery, you have that. And I snuck behind him and I grabbed his bag from him. And I said, how come she can't play with all of them? You're just holding them in a bag. He gave it with one hand. He was holding back on her. Any of you ever done that before? It's awful quiet in here. Yeah. Holding back. Holding back on God. Holding back on helping others. We give him a little token gift there. There you go, Brother B. You warmed and filled. You know? Holding back. No, that's not how God gave. Aren't you thankful that when he gave his son, he gave him with both hands? And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to receive with both hands. That means that grace has worked. Grace gives with both hands. And that's the way we need to be when it comes to our giving. And this is the emphasis of this particular passage. We continue on reading. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. It's not a command. It's advice. You can take it or you can leave it. But he makes a very important point in this. For this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He reminds them of a gift that they had sent a year ago and they hadn't sent anything else. He said, here's my advice. What you started a year ago, you need to do now. There are some great needs. He goes on, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. That's important. He doesn't say to give out of that which you don't have. He says give out of that which you do have. Now remember, the Corinthian church was a wealthy church. Corinth was one of the most wealthiest of cities in that region of Macedonia. A very, very wealthy country. And the people there were wealthy. And he said, give out of what you have. Perform it. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that which a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. Have you ever experienced this? Dr. Hobbs told the story years ago out here at the ballpark, and I was standing with him at the time. I was quite young. I think I was 24 or 25 at the time, and this guy came up, and he was just bragging on Gospel Project Baseball. He was just going on about how grateful he was that his kids were playing ball out there. And he said, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to you right now, Dayton. And you know what Dr. Hobbs said? What you got in your wallet? It was the funniest moment. That guy just like, it turned red. What you got in your wallet? Said, that $1 million promise is kind of empty. What you got in your wallet? He never pulled his wallet out. He never pulled it out. He said, well, you know what I mean, Dayton. Yeah. Empty platitudes. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you, friend. I love you so much. If I had $1 million, I'd give it to you. Isn't that meaningful? You wouldn't know what to do with it, right? You'd give it back to me, right? Putting the pressure on. Yeah. We love empty platitudes about giving from what we don't have. We're good at that. Well, if I had this much money, I'd surely give it to you. Well, that's nice. Nice thought. But it's kind of empty because you don't have that. But what do you have? What do you have? This is a biblical principle. God wants us to give from what we have. And He doesn't want us to be foolish in that. He doesn't want you to go into debt. He doesn't want you to destroy your livelihood. But He wants you to give from what you have. That is a very important lesson. We teach our children that principle. Give from what you have. Have you ever seen a kid in a classroom? Mrs. Pepper and I know have seen that. Jay's seen that in her classroom. Where somebody will go, somebody needs something, and they'll go to another kid's desk and get it to go give it to their friend. Now, what do we call that? That's called stealing. But they had such a tender heart when they did it. Right? They had such a tender heart. They just wanted to help their friend. Yeah, but they didn't help them from their stuff. They helped them from another. We had a kid in the back in the lunchroom time. He was bad about this. Somebody said, I'm still hungry. He'd reach over into somebody else's lunchbox, grab something, and give it to him. And that didn't go over too well. That happened several times, and he ended up in the front office eating his lunch for a whole week to try to break him of the habit of taking other people's food and giving it to other people that said that they were hungry. All I was doing, teacher, was helping him. They said that they were hungry. Yeah, but you didn't give them any of your food. Well, I'm hungry too. All right? Is that helpful? Is that helpful giving? No. Is that godly giving? No. No, it's not. All right? Is that gracious giving? No, it's not. Though he had a heart to help, you can call it that action grace, but when you take from somebody else and not from yourself, that's ungracious. Yeah. This is where Paul is going. He said, you folks were so good. You gave last year. All right? You gave last year, but you haven't given since. And there's still needs there. I'm not asking you to break the bank. I'm not asking you to go out and rob somebody. I'm not asking you to have to go out and take a loan. I'm not asking you to do that. Give from what you have. And God will multiply and supply your need because that's how grace works. Grace then floods in and God just says, I'm going to make sure that they're taken care of. They took care of that need. They were sensitive to my direction and I'm going to supply. We've all seen that in our lives. When we took care of somebody else and then God just came behind later on, we didn't even think about it until it came in and God just supplied that need. We see that all the time here at school about how God will just, we'll reach out to help somebody and then God will supply from behind and take care of it. That's just the way He works. So you've got to be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life when it comes to the matter of giving, because you see, most people are very tight with their money, right? I got to save it for a rainy day, right? By the way, it's raining outside. I heard it doing that, okay? So your rainy day funds, what about that? Well, you know, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean if something big comes up, you know, you want to be able to have money there ready to go. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But whenever you refuse to give to others to help, special needs that arise, things, and you hold on tight to that and you hold it back, you're a blockage in the channel. You're like a sink that backs up. All right. Tomorrow I've got to go get some flush because we got a sink in our office there that is backing up right now. And it's kind of disgusting. All right. It's kind of disgusting whenever you pour out the coffee cup and there it just turns all black and it just sits there. And it takes you boom, 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 boom. All right. And you said, "What? That thing, I wish that thing would go down quick. You know, I don't have to look at all that stuff." Well, you're a blockage in the drain. We sing that song, "Channels Only, Blessed Master." And you know what channel we're thinking of? Somebody else's channel, right? Oh, bless so-and-so. May they give abundantly. They've got a lot. I had one person tell me, God doesn't expect us to give. He doesn't expect us to give. And I said, well, I'm sorry. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in the original language is the idea of hilarious giver. We don't use that word a whole lot. We think about a joke and we say, oh, that's hilarious. I mean, hysterical giver. Somebody that does. So that person didn't know their Bible very well. God loveth a cheerful giver. God doesn't expect us to give. He just wants us to keep our money. No, that's not right. That's unbiblical. That's ungodly. So let's finish up chapter 8 and get into chapter 9 here. I'm taking too much time. I need to keep moving. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that which a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened. He wasn't trying to burden the church at Corinth and put all the giving on them, and they had to take care of all the churches that were in Macedonia. That was not his idea at all. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Oh, now we're getting it. We're understanding it. When God touches us to take care of a missionary, you know what blessing we get back? God equally supplies for us. That's the picture. You take care of this need at this church in Macedonia. They're struggling right now. You help out with that. It will come back to you. He that casteth his bread upon the waters. What's the rest of that verse? It cometh back to him. It comes back. Well, I don't want that old soggy mess. I threw my bread out in the water and it came back a soggy mess. I couldn't eat. No, you're missing the principle, the proverb behind it. All right? You cast your bread. You don't know exactly all the things that God's going to use it for. We don't know what special need right now. I'll tell you about one that I read about recently, about a missionary. And they had adopted a little baby. The mother had died in childbirth. And so the missionary couple adopted the child. This was back in the 1920s, all right? They adopted the child, and the child became very sick, and they needed somebody. It was very cold, and they needed a hot water bottle to keep the baby warm. They didn't have a heat source in there. They said, Lord, would you supply us with what we need? That day, a knock came to the door. A package, actually a freight cart, arrived at the door. From England. A church had packaged up a whole bunch of stuff, shipped it to them. It arrived at their door that day, the day that they prayed. When they opened it up, guess what was inside? A hot water bottle that had been sent a month and a half before. Who was at work a month and a half before that knew the need that would be that day for that little infant? God did. You know what we're doing? We're working with God. We're working with God. Well, you don't understand. If I start giving to missions and I start giving to these special things, I'm not going to have enough for me. You don't understand giving. You don't understand grace. God supplies. God takes care of. God provides. Just like they needed that hot water bottle and blankets, all of that stuff was supplied in that crate that had been sent a month and a half before. And it supplied their need at that particular moment of their need because God was involved. So giving is on a whole nother level. Amen? It's not based on capitalism. It's not based upon financial principles that are you'll find on Wall Street. It's based upon the economic principles of God. You give to supply a want, and one day that money will come back to you when you need. That's how God works. That's how God supplies. So, almost done with chapter 8 in our reading. He says, verse 14, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be an equality, as it is written. Now he goes back to the Old Testament. What's Paul doing going back to Old Testament teaching? He that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no what? Lack. You know what that was talking about in Exodus? It was talking about the bread that God had provided called manna. He that gathered much, as it said there, had nothing left over. Remember, they were not supposed to gather up too much, thinking that it was going to be an extra supply beyond the Sabbath day. They weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. So God supplied them with a coriander seed that appeared on the ground in the morning dew. They went and gathered what they needed for the Sabbath day, and then they were not to keep more for themselves, thinking it's going to last into Sunday and Monday. What happened to that? The Bible says that their manna, when they did that, became like worms. But the person that gathered just what they needed had enough. The person that sought to grab more for themselves, it rotted. It was filled with worms. Paul uses this statement to teach a New Testament principle. You gather for yourself, and you keep gathering for yourself, and you keep gathering for yourself, and you're not giving according to what God would have you to give to further His work here upon this earth, and you're keeping it for yourself. You know what's going to happen to your money? It's going to rot. God has ways. He talks about, you know, whenever you have the treasures and the moth and rust doth corrupt. Yeah, it's that principle. God will make sure that you don't get to enjoy that because it's His. He's the one that's putting it in the channel, and He wants you to direct it so that others. So let's go over to chapter 9 because Paul's not done. Over to chapter 9. Verse 1, for as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous or unnecessary for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Now there had been a delay in the church at Corinth of giving. They had delayed it by almost a year. And Paul is saying, you know, what's happened? I'm not trying to do a pressure campaign on you. I want you to be used of God. I want you to be anointed of God to help these people. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He had been talking about how the church at Corinth had been a giving church, how they had supplied the needs. And he said, I may be bringing some of the Macedonian brother. Are you going to be ready? You going to be ready to help? Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. I want you to give because it's the right thing to do. I want you to give because you're ministering the grace of God when you give it. I don't want this to be a matter of covetousness. This church is not trying to make a big buck off of you. They're not moochers. They are people that have genuine needs. And I'm going to be sending some men ahead. And I want the bounty to be ready to go, so that my boasting of you will not be in vain. Now, I think Paul is emphasizing a very important principle here. Paul, many people do not want to be compared to others when it comes to giving. And it's foolish to compare ourselves among ourselves, especially when it comes to donations. We're not in a race against each other. But Paul apparently felt that Corinth would be helped by a comparison of the giving of the Macedonian believers and their giving that had been delayed. So is Paul wrong to do this? No, not at all. He's emphasizing with them, hey, we've got to take care of other brothers and sisters in Christ. So get the bounty ready. Now, verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Oh, Paul, man, you are putting the thumbscrews on us. Let me remind you of something, people at Corinth. He that sows sparingly shall what? Reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. This is the established pattern of grace giving. That's what this is. Grace giving. If you hold back and keep for yourself and you only give sparingly, you're the Ebenezer Scrooge. Right? I suppose that you'll want to have the day off tomorrow. Be here all the more earlier the next day. Little pointy nose, you know, with his money piled in his chest, the few pennies that he was paying his worker. But that's some way people think when it comes to giving in the church. And God says, that's not going to work. You sow sparingly. Now think about it. You put a seed in the ground. And you go along and you put another seed and you put another seed and you put another. You got a whole row of beans. All right? Do you realize you may have planted 100 beans in a row? What is going to be the supply at the end of this growing season? Is it going to be 100 seeds? No. It's going to be way more than that. I know because I had to pick them as a kid. Dad would plant butter beans, those big old butter beans. You put them in the ground, you put them in the ground, and I'd put it in the ground, you know, kicking dirt over the... But I hated butter beans. I hated planting them, I hated picking them, and I hated eating them. It was just a misery for me because I just hated butter beans. If you love them, then you've got special grace because I missed out on that particular thing. But I remember butter beans are bush beans. And when you pick them, you sit there at one plant, it seems like for an eternity, picking. And I would go along and I would just be moving. I'm beating you, Roger. And I'm moving along and Dad would come behind me and said, you're missing them. You're missing them, Todd. Come back here and start over again. Oh, I hated those words. And where did they come from? Those things popped up really quick. I missed a whole bunch on this one because I was in a hurry. I wanted to get that road done. sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, finish it, reap bountifully. Simple principle from God. We've touched on several principles. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Give out of what you have, not what you don't have. These basic principles are how God wants to operate His work here upon this earth. Taking care of the missionaries, taking care of reaching out in our community with the gospel, making sure that we are honorable in our dealings with all the different companies that we do business with by paying our bills. Amen? Taking care of the servants of the Lord. God has given us opportunities to help places that had tremendous needs. Book of Acts records several of those where they had a storm that came through and they wanted to supply and help those people that were affected by the storm. Euclidean is the storm that's mentioned there in Acts. Well, what was God doing? He was teaching all of us that we need to be sensitive. Where God can just come, I need you to give. All right? And sometimes we go, this isn't a good time, God. Why would God touch you in a bad time? You say, well, God doesn't do that. Oh, yes, He does. There have been times where people have been, it seems like a pile on. But God was working. God was working in their life. Yes, I need this. I need this. The widow that went to put her mites in the offering plate. Jesus told the disciples what they didn't know about her. She hath given her all. Whereas all these rich people have come in, they've only given a portion of what they had. She hath given her all. Who was honored among the two groups? The widow. She forever stands as that. Because God could touch her heart and she would respond. I pray this morning, as we think about the missions program of Grace Bible Church, God's going to fund His work. But you know how He does it? He does it by touching His children. And He says, we need you. We need you to give. We need you to give out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. I need you to give cheerfully. And I need you to give not sparingly, but bountifully, in relationship to what you have. Three simple principles that God has laid out in His precious Word. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the teaching that we have in this passage on giving. We've just touched on three of the principles that are laid out for us. When we are giving, we are being godly, because that's how God gives. God gave with both hands His Son. God has given us His creation with both hands. God has made His promises with both hands extended. Whenever He went to the cross of Calvary, He expanded His arms outward and was nailed to that cruel cross to embrace all sinners who would come to Him. What a picture we find in Your Word of Your gracious giving to us. And You call us to give. Not out of what we don't have, but what we have. And I pray, Father, that You would continue the missions program of this church, that we'll be able to grow it and expand it and be able to help our missionaries around the globe. This church has been a blessing in so many ways, over and above and beyond the call. I thank You for that. May we never recoil from that. May we be faithful. May we not delay like the church at Corinth did. But may we give as when the need is there. I pray that You'd work in a very powerful way today. We thank You for the fellowship that we're about to enjoy. We thank You for the food that You have provided. And we pray that You'd bless this time together as we fellowship together. And may we rejoice in what You have given to us. And may we be faithful in giving to Your work so that we can see You supply not only the needs that are out there, but also watch You supply our needs as well. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 518. 518. We're going to stand together and sing the first stanza. Give of the best to the master. And we're going to sing stanza two. So let's stand together as we close our service by singing stanza two. Heaven, we thank you so much for your word. It's so clear. It's so simple to understand. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. We many times have to overcome the economic systems of our world and what we've been told and what we've been shown and taught perhaps in school. And we have to set aside much of that in order to embrace the teaching of your word. And that means trusting by faith in the great need supplier, and that's Jesus Christ. May we grow in faith today. May we learn that when we give, you give back. And you give back more than what we need. We thank you for that principle that's established in your word. And we pray that we might learn to trust you and your word in our giving. We pray your blessings now upon the meal. May we have a joyous time together. And we pray, Father, that you would use us this year in the giving to our missionaries, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.